You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is Pod TST, and I'm Kenneth Arthur, and every week we talk about the Rams. And during the season, you know, we are previewing each Rams opponent. And this week, that is the Buffalo Bills, 2-0 with a red hot passing attack. I mean, come on. You can't deny this at all, Max. Okay. I know you want to.
They're on fire. It's the last thing I want to do. I mean, Allen, first 300 yard game of his career, first game of the year. First 400-yard game of his career, second game of his career of the season. So, you know, he's on fire.
Well, let's talk about that heat. Let's talk about the friction, the kinetic energy that creates fire. I mean, we're talking about GM Brandon Bean, am I right?
I love Brandon Bean. I'm obsessed with his, like, the Bills put out this, like, very low-quality version of Hard Knocks every year. And, their own kind of, like, social media team.
Watch this. Is it called One Bills Drive?
Oh, I think that might be it. That might be it. Yeah. And also, like, I don't want to attack it too much because I watched all of it. So, like, you know, shout out to whoever, you know. no shade to whoever made that programming.
No, because there's a few teams like the Cardinals, the Chiefs, the Vikings. I tracked like which teams had their own little Hard Knocks thing, and the Bills were one of them. So yeah, they were at least a little forward thinking on content.
Yeah, absolutely. And the best part of that to me was seeing Brandon Bean like in the draft room, like the war room for that. That's, you know, great. Just him like kind of stalking around, just the way he kind of is with his team. Like you can kind of tell that this is true of like this whole new crop of like young coaches. Like it's true of like everyone from like Sean McVay to like Matt LaFleur. It's even in basketball, like, you know, Nick Nurse, like all these kind of guys who just have this, like, they're not too plagued by like football guy-dom or like basketball guy-dom. You know, they're like kind of like they're taking input from everybody and they're like smart and quick on their feet. And yeah, I mean, Bean seems great.
There seems like a lot of, now that you say it also, yeah, it's like there is a new trend or a trend of like cool, hip, 40-year-old GMs. That,
yes,
you know,
absolutely there is. Yeah, yeah.
They want to be cool. They want to like fit in like with a regular group of guys. They are not old anymore. They're not John Elway. Like even though John Elway is a GM, like so many of them are like young and like attractive young men.
Yeah, like they all have that like Cliff Kingsbury house now, you know. They're not too much like, you know, football, family, and God, you know. They're more like chilled out. Like I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like John Schneider with the Seahawks in 2013 when he won the Super Bowl, and then, you know, Les Snead with the Rams. He's like, he looks more like, he just kind of looks like Steve Kerr or something, you know? He's like,
yeah, exactly.
That's
yeah.
the coolest of it. Like that's cool. You know, it's like, that's where he fits in. It's like, oh man, this guy's, it's just not what you expect, especially when your name is Les Snead, but.
Right. Those guys just feel like if they were your boss, you could like pitch them an idea.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what I like about them. Like you kind of come up to them on draft. You're like, hey, like I was kind of thinking like, there's a lot of tight ends.
That.
Like, yeah.
You want that, like, that's where so many of these successful teams, that's why the Patriots can be, like, the most successful team because they've got the most unity between head coach and GM because of the same person.
They're the same guy. Exactly. That's and ultimate unity.
You would love it when you can find that one in a thousand coach, but mostly these people can't do the two things at once. But if you have those other teams that come together, like Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, where it's like, oh no, we're a team, you know, like we're in this. Brandon Bean, yeah. Sean McDermott, we're a team.
They absolutely, I think, have that exact same energy where, because you can tell in the way that they build the team that like McDermott seems to know how to use all the pieces that Bean is providing him.
Yeah. I think actually, like, yeah, go ahead.
I think that obviously the major story is Diggs, right? You know, and I think what's so cool about him as a number one wide receiver is John Brown and Cole Beasley make so much more sense as a 2 and 3 receiver than as a 1 and 2 receiver, right? And this is very like rudimentary analysis, but like I always felt that, obviously as a slot guy, like your 3 receivers usually your slot guy, right? I mean, that's what you want Cole Beasley to be. He's like a Wes Welker type, you know, like you don't want him running like deep post routes, you know, you want him doing, you know, like slot option stuff. So, And then Brown, like, you know, Brown is great. It's just like, you don't want to put him on, Stephon Gilmore. That's the problem. I mean, he's really good, but he's just like, he's not that level. So now that you have Diggs, who is just incredible, their chemistry looks fantastic. You know, it's just made Brown into such a better option and Beasley into such a better option.
John Brown is crazy. I mean, his career, I mean, it is hard to fathom in a way, to rationalize that. Just to, you know, quickly recount, third round pick in 2014 of the Cardinals out of Pittsburgh State, not the Pittsburgh with an H at the end. He was 24 wow. years old, so he was an old for a rookie. First year, comes out of the gate, 696 yards, 5 touchdowns. It's okay. He had less than 50% of catch rate. But then the next year with the Cardinals, this is Carson Palmer, 65 catches, 1,003 yards, caught 64% of his targets and 10 yards per target. And then not a lot of production. And then he goes to the Ravens for 1 year. And then he emerges with the Bills last year at 29, 9.2 yards per target. Pretty much a season as good as that 2015 season with Carson Palmer. And that's where, I mean, when I was going into this season, I was seeing people talk about John Brown and Cole Beasley and Stephon Diggs and saying like, oh, this could be, you know, the best, one of the best receiving corps in the NFL. And when you hear Cole Beasley and John Brown, that doesn't quite click. So can you like tell me what it's like from your perspective to have watched those two, first of all, those two receivers last year with Josh Allen?
Yeah. I mean, I think, so Brown, it's like you're saying, like when he kind of, it was sort of turned, you know, in this 2018 Bills team or 19 Bills team was the number one Bills receiver. You know, it was definitely like, who is this guy, right? Like like you said, like, you know, he was from the Ravens. I didn't even like know his pre-Bills history very well. So it was definitely like, oh, this guy's our number one wide receiver. Like, how's that going to work out? And the fact that he was able to function like a number one wide receiver, you know, catch deep balls, be relatively reliable. There definitely wasn't anyone else last year that you wanted that ball to be going to.
Yeah.
So I think, but it was always sort of like, it was never like, oh, here's this like crazy emerging, you know, 94 plus player on Madden, like star. That was never the vibe with Brown. But that's why it's so nice to have him as a number two option, because he feels great as a number two option, because he was a sort of like not completely insane number one option, you know? Yeah. And then with Beasley, like, I always liked Beasley on the Cowboys. I thought he was, like, a pretty good, like, you know, wide receiver. He just, you know, you don't want to put all these white wide receivers in the same box, right? But he does have that, like, kind of squirrely, like, slot kind of vibe to him. And, you know, he was always, like, he was sort of pretty good on the Cowboys and, like, sort of interesting to, like, they always had their Jason Garrett problems. It was always kind of like, well, how good is he really, right, if you put him in a better system?
I mean, it's crazy. He's 5'8", so it's like he really is small. I mean, he really
– Yeah, he's tiny.
The fact that he's been in the league as long as he has, this is his 9th season in the NFL.
He seems like a younger guy, too. I mean, this year he doesn't because he's got the Fitzpatrick beard almost. But, like, yeah, you don't think of him as, like, a 9-year vet.
Yeah, but part of that just being the fact that all of a sudden last year, you know, Cole Beasley gets the career high, 106 targets. And as you said, these are three – they have now three reliable targets. And then past that, Isaiah McKenzie and Gabe Davis are two emerging wide receivers for them. And I think that's really fascinating, the fact that if they could have a threat like Stephon Diggs that's that could be in that number one variety, and then they have – four other, like, that's when you start to talk about like the great offenses in terms.
Absolutely.
If Josh Allen is the guy, then it seems the Bills are set up to have a great offense.
Yeah, and he's made such a leap so far, Allen, and you do wonder how real it is. Like, is, you know, I mean, obviously his first two games are just absurd. It's like he's in this category. I forget what it's like with Mahomes and Brady, like one other guy, and he's obviously probably won't keep up that pace with like zero interceptions and 700 yards. Yeah. He threw a couple balls that could have been intercepted, and also in that first game he lost two fumbles. Right, that's hopefully he can pull that together.
Well, if we're talking about skepticism, let me bring something to the table. And you tell me how you feel about this. Just the fact that, and I mean, look, I love what the Bills are doing. Okay. I mean, I don't want to come against it. I don't want
to
be
hard to hate them. Yeah,
I don't want to be a naysayer. I love what they're doing. But
no, of course.
It is the Jets and the Dolphins. I mean, and the games were close-ish.
Yeah.
Any concerns there?
Yeah, I think there is a concern there. The Dolphins, I think, are maybe a little good. Like, not
as
not,
we speak, they I think they lead 21-7 on Thursday night football. So,
and the Jaguars also, you know, they're playing the Jaguars also, yeah, maybe a little good. So maybe. Like I think Fitzpatrick looked hot. Those throws that Gesicki caught against were incredible. I mean, if Gesicki plays like that every game, he's like a Gronkowski type. So the Dolphins, I think, you know, really may be able to do something. I like Flores, so I think, you know, holding them off is respectable. What I liked about that game too is, like, I think with the Bills, one of their problems has been they get up big on a team in the first quarter because their defense just shuts a team down.
Yeah.
So they'll be up like 14-0 or 21. This is how it would go last year. The defense seems like they maybe took a step back this year. That's like maybe on first blush. But
my understanding is also, though, you know, that there were a couple injuries in the last game.
Yeah. Milano and Edmonds are out, and those are their two linebackers. So that just leaves you really open for those over the middle of the field throws.
Right. Which is what the Dolphins were able to excel at in the second half. What was a very unsuccessful first half became a very successful second half for Miami.
Right. And the Bills do that a lot, where they will like let teams back in. They're one thing they're really bad at, and this is, I think, almost like a franchise identity thing, is they don't have like a killer instinct. They can never just like blow a team out of the water. They're always like kind of hanging around there. But one thing I thought was really encouraging is, you know, so the Bills are up all game. I think it's something like whatever it was, like 17-7 or whatever. They're way up most of the game. And then, you know, the Dolphins score and it becomes 20-17. The Dolphins are up for the first time. And they came out just throwing the ball so deep, so aggressive. It was so encouraging. It just didn't look like that last year.
Yeah.
So for Dable to come out and just call these super deep balls, really aggressive play calling, and then for them to just very quickly score again off a couple, you know, high-flying pass throws, that was really encouraging.
It seems like it's an aggressive league now. It seems.
I think it has to be. It has to be. Yeah, that's another slight quibble I have with McDermott. Is I wish he would kind of get a little more up on the fourth down revolution.
Well, what is your Rams viewing habits? Do you watch a lot of Rams game? You're a resident of the city.
I do. I would say they're, you know, I think it's a little bit lame when you start being like, well, my third favorite team and my fourth favorite team, because it's like, have some identity. But that said, I think they're on my third favorite team. You know, so I watch them a little bit. I definitely follow them. What I've been saying to a couple people coming into this game, and obviously it's very early in the season, so who knows, but I think it could be that this is a matchup of the 2-3 seeds. Because I think my personal power rankings would go in the AFC, Baltimore, Kansas City, Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And in the NFC, Seahawks, Packers, Rams.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that might – so it's I think, a big test for both of them.
Well, I mean, yeah. Unless I am mistaken and they reseeded things, then the Rams couldn't be the 3 seed if they don't win the division, right? So
Right.
You're a liar.
That's true. Oh, yeah. Damn. Yeah, that's true.
But no, I get what you're saying. I see what you're saying. But right now they look a lot alike. They're both play action teams. The Rams and the Bills both run the most play action in the league. And even defensively, you know, they both feature their best players at maybe, well, the Bills probably feature their best players at cornerback and linebacker maybe right now, but they're right, trying to build something around Ed Oliver.
So
they've got a very highly ranked prospect down there. And the Rams also an elite cornerback and an elite defensive tackle. What are the early thoughts on Ed Oliver?
Ed Oliver has looked he has looked very solid. Like, you really want to have him.
This feels like a real, this feels bad. What you're,
my only thing with Ed Oliver is that he never has what I will call a Jadeveon Clowney moment where he just absolutely wrecks a play. And it's like, you know, where it gets like those announcers fired up and they're like, you know, and that was Ed Oliver just did not, you never hear that, right? It's like, he goes, and they get to him and this on the sack, it was Oliver, you know? So he's like, he's got like a motor. He's very consistent. He's strong. He's a good player, but he's not like, I was kind of hoping when we drafted him, maybe we'd get this real superstar. You know, obviously no one's Aaron Donald, but like, you know, someone like almost approaching that kind of thing. I haven't seen that yet, but he might get up there. But obviously he's been consistent and someone you really want on the field. So.
Yeah. It sounds like he's very disruptive in his own way. Maybe takes up a couple of bodies. You mentioned Jadeveon Clowney. This is one of your former schoolmates, am I right?
Oh, my God. I think he's probably my favorite player of all time. Yeah, I was a Gamecock, and we are almost the same age. I think we graduated at very similar times where he left, you know, he might be either a year older than me or the same age. And I think the Jadeveon Clowney Outback Bowl hit is my favorite play in professional sports. So
I think it's like a lot of people, they seem to, because he's still sort of, people still remember it. This is probably still his best play that he's ever had.
I think it's still his best play. I mean, just, you know, the call is amazing where they go, South Carolina deserves to have it, and they do, you know, and just the fact that literally you just have never seen someone just explode a guy that hard. The helmet comes flying off. He grabs the ball with one hand. I mean, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah. Did you ever have a class with him?
I never did. I ran into him at a Sonic, the fast food chain. At 3 a.m. one time and told him he was amazing.
There you go.
That's about it.
That probably sparked the rest of his career.
I think so. I think all things to be.
What about Tre'Davious White? Is this guy everything dreamed of?
He is incredible. He is just, I mean, his season last year, I thought, you know, I'm really into those, that top 100 series that the NFL puts out. You know, where the players rank the players. But, you know, the NFL subreddit gave Tre'Davious White a top 10 ranking. And I thought that was better than the top 100 list only put him in like the top 40. I think he's a top 10 player in the league. He hasn't had quite as many plays so far this year, but I think he's still, you know, a top 10 kind of player. I think he's unbelievable. And I actually, something that I thought was interesting as a storyline is Levi Wallace, who is their number two cornerback. And they brought in Josh Norman, who, you know, was a Panthers player for a while before he went to what's now the football team. And they're, you know, Norman was like, if you just want to go by like PFF numbers, like a little bit better than Wallace last year. But I always liked Wallace as like a playmaker. He's like a little slow and like a little small, but he's like, seems like good at football, so I liked him. But Wallace hasn't looked good so far this season. I think either because he doesn't have that help from Milano and Edmund. Milano is awfully good. I think that's, you know, he's a pretty good linebacker. I think it's a shame to lose him, and obviously lose both of them at the same time.
You said before the podcast that you were looking for something about Cody Ford.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And yes, Cody Ford.
A second-round pick a year ago. What's his story?
Well, Cody Ford, we were talking about watching Brandon Bean in the Bills thing. The highlight of that episode is the drafting of Cody Ford, and it's very intense. I mean, Bean wants Cody Ford so badly. He is so excited to draft Cody Ford. And, you know, I think they're hoping for like a Quentin Nelson type. So far, he has not been that. He's been maybe even a little bad so far. If you just want to go by stats, now I think he's young. I am nowhere close to writing off Cody Ford, but I think, you know, if season goes on, next season they'll start to be like, all right, Cody, like, you know, how are we doing here? So he's okay, but I don't think they're in love with what he's done so far.
That's like one of the big differences, you know, between like maybe being excited about a draft pick who hasn't actually performed in the NFL yet, as opposed to maybe performing at training camp or in the preseason when the excitement over a player at that point, you know, I know that for the Rams, some of that, a lot of excitement was centered around sixth round safety Jordan Fuller out of Ohio State. And he was a sixth round pick, and the Rams had even drafted a safety in the third round named Terrell Burgess. So he was even further behind, and the Rams had John Johnson and Taylor Rapp there. There was two guys set to start at safety, and then Taylor Rapp got hurt. And then Jordan Fuller had an excellent report out of training camp, which you never really know with reports out of training camp, but he has started the first two games and played almost all but one snap, I think, and had a pretty big impact for the Rams. Is there anybody that you've been hyped up on going into this season for Buffalo, and how's that going?
Yeah, you mentioned him before, but it's got to be Gabriel Davis. He, I think, really impressed some people in camp, and he had that touchdown catch last week that was incredible. You know, my dad texted me, you know, it's like there's nobody on the team to make that catch last year, right? I mean, like that's the other thing with Allen. It's always been like, you know, certain receivers just make you look so much better, right? So of course he, I think it's simultaneously he's making this huge leap, and he finally has all these receivers to like go that one extra foot to catch the ball, you know? So I think Gabriel Davis could be really exciting as a prospect. So, I mean, obviously, like, you know, they've got these other three big wide receivers. And then I don't think we've seen much of their highest pick this year, Espinosa. I don't think he's really even been out there yet.
No.
I think he's hurt or,
I think he has an ankle issue. But I could be conflating that with another player. But, he hasn't played.
Yeah, so obviously it'll be exciting to see him out there when he's ready to go. But I think he's not yet. Another player, this isn't a draft pick, but someone who I'm really curious about their development, and he just got a concussion last week, unfortunately, is Dawson Knox.
Yeah.
Their tight end, because he makes a lot of plays that are pretty flashy. You know, he'll just like throw a defender off of him or make a big reaching catch, and then he also will like make, you know, drop the ball a little bit. And to me, unfortunately, it's like you don't want your tight end to drop passes. It's like that's who you like. There, you're like your kind of safety blanket, your end zone guy.
Yeah.
You know, seeing them drop the ball is not what you want. But
what do you think you would rather see this Sunday for the Bills? Would you rather see another performance from Josh Allen like the one that he just did, or would you rather see maybe, you know, a Devin Singletary, Zach Moss, a Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb type day, where they can really have success running the running, because they've invested day two draft picks in both of those players in the last two drafts. This is a team that you would expect to want to run the football well with Josh Allen, but also around Josh Allen. Not a lot of successful runs to start this season, and at the same time, they haven't really needed it because of Josh Allen. But what would you find more satisfying?
You know, I think I would like to see Allen stay with all air attack. Obviously, you know, Singletary and Moss have both flashed a little bit this year. I love them as running backs on the team. I just think the league is going in this way where you might as well just keep passing. Like, I think I'd like to see that at the highest level of consistency we can. I love the way that Bean has drafted running backs, because they're both, I mean, I think here's kind of like a thought experiment, right? The Bills traded away a first round pick for Stephon Diggs, right? Yeah. And I think so far it looks like a brilliant decision. I'm not sure there is an equivalent running back to Stephon Diggs where you'd make that same trade, right? Someone who's equally good. I don't know I'm not sure who's in that league, but maybe like an Ezekiel Elliott or a Derrick Henry. I would not trade a first round pick for Ezekiel Elliott or Derrick Henry. Or other people might, but I just think you don't want older running backs, unfortunately. They just kind of break down a little bit. Right. I think using your third round and second round picks on these kind of like small, reliable, shifty, flashy running backs. An announcer during that game two game was saying they're really similar players, Singletary and Moss. You know, they fit kind of the same. They don't have to change their package based on who's in there. They can both catch the ball. They can both run hard. They can both run out. So I would like to see Moss. Moss has not made any plays that rival Singletary's biggest plays. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see him really break a couple out. But besides that, I'm happy if they want to stick with that passing attack.
Also, how dare you make that running back age comment as a Bills fan, where you've been the home of Frank Gore, you know, for the last 2 years prior to this year?
Yeah, he was there a couple of years, and you know, all the love in the world to Frank Gore. You know, he was a great mentor for Singletary. You know, but Gore, you know, he didn't ask to be paid, you know, a king's ransom. He didn't really do all that much for the Bills. I don't think you really wanted him on. I think having him on the team to mentor Singletary was amazing, and I think every other team that has him gets that benefit. So, you know, he's the ageless wonder and power to him. But I wouldn't trade for Gore purely for a production.
One thing that I exchanged questions with the Bills blog, you know, some Q&A here and there this week. And that was one thing I had mentioned as far as the switch over from first the Pegulas as the owners and then the switch in GM and coach in 2017, and that it felt like the Bills were doing things differently now, you know, that it used to be that they would lose any good players that they had ever drafted. Or they would just draft bad players, you know, and that it would, if they had a good player, they would just lose him anyway. And now they're acquiring Stephon Diggs and extending him. They're extending Tre'Davious White. They're drafting Josh Allen. Clearly, it's a new attitude. I don't want to bring up bad memories, but of those Buffalo Bills that you like kind of fell in love with when they were drafted, which one maybe did you yearn for the most while you watched them play somewhere else?
Oh, wow. You know, none are cropping into my head. Maybe if there's a couple that you want to throw at me.
Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah.
Defensive Gilmore player was of the year.
Was he – am I making this up, or was Gilmore also a Gamecock?
He was.
Yep. Well, I forgot that Gilmore was on the Bills. I don't remember
that's
that.
Crazy.
Apologies to everyone for that. But
Marshawn Lynch.
Lynch again, these older running backs, I'm kind of like, yeah,
you can, Sammy Watkins.
I was never a big Sammy Watkins guy. I think the Chiefs gotten some okay stuff out of Sammy Watkins. I'm not in love with Sammy Watkins.
Let's see.
It shows you that they're not drafting great guys. You know what I mean? Gilmore is incredible.
Glenn, right tackle.
Whoever has Cordy Glenn now can keep him.
You got, hold on, I had one more at least. Oh, Dante Whitner, you remember him? Safety.
Oh, yeah, okay. And he went to the
49ers.
Yep. Yeah, he was really good when he played for the Bills, but after he left the Bills, he wasn't showing out as hard, I think. I think his best season, I mean, I could be making this up, but I remember his best seasons being with the Bills. Like, I think it was harder to miss him because I think he kind of fell off a bit after he left the Bills.
Yeah. Well, I was just also just can't, I still just can't even believe that Rex Ryan was the coach.
I know. It's unbelievable. It's just like so many, it's amazing now that they actually have a good GM and good coach in place. Like you compare it to what they had before. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. But I did go to a Bills game, in 2014, they were playing against the Patriots. And you know, it was one of the best experiences that I had going to an NFL game. Have you been to Bills games in Buffalo?
I never have.
Oh, well, I'm a better fan than you.
You absolutely are. I've ever since I was young, I've been like less of about going to the games in the stadium, which I know is crazy, but I like the announcers. Like I kind of like the experience of watching it on TV. You know, so I definitely want to go to more games, especially now that I can afford to a little bit more. But I've never been as like, I have to go to the game in person.
Just in case you guys didn't know, Max has money.
I'm rich now, so no, but now that I'm an adult, so.
Well, I do agree that I like doing everything at home. So.
Exactly.
I mean. I've been at home all year, as most people have.
Me too. I'm very at home.
Are you finding that odd to watch the games without fans?
You know, the NFL viewing experience is much less weird than the NBA viewing experience. Like, not even like I mean, I've been enjoying watching the NBA. I think everything they did is incredible. I think, like, you know, all credit to Adam Silver, the bubble's been a massive success. But when you watch those games, they look like they're playing in an empty gym, right?
Yeah.
It looks a little odd. Even just camera angle wise, because the camera just is usually on the field, it doesn't look that weird to watch the games without the fans. The lack of fans has not negatively affected my viewing experience, I would say.
Yeah, I do find it. I still can't quite get over the change in crowd reaction during the game. Because I'm just someone's just making this choice. Just one person entire stadium is making this particular audience choice.
What was it where like the Eagles pumped in crowd noise like booed Carson Wentz last week, you know?
Yeah,
just having one guy being like, let's boo him. That's like, that's hilarious. Yeah.
It was, I was like, were they going to have little catapult arms in the Eagles crowd with like cans of tomatoes and just booing and throwing stuff? Like, it was, I just find it odd, you know, I get it too, to a degree, because there were times during one of the games, I can't remember which one exactly, I think it was Monday Night Football, where the crowd noise just cut out for like, it periodically would just cut out for like 5 seconds. It was like, this is weird. This feels weird.
It is, but I guess the positive is you get to like listen in on all their calls, right? And you get hear them yelling like, you know, like all their audibles and stuff. Yeah. Like that's a nice little.
I would love that. I mean, if there was part of that game, if you had that option.
Turn on the mic'd up or whatever. It's great.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this for the first time. Max Lasser is here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And that was the introduction part. And then I say your name and now it's the body of the podcast. And, you know, and then I'm just like, so Max, tell me, what do you think about this Sunday's game?
Yeah, now we can finally get into it.
Yeah. Actually, it's the end. But Max, if there was anything you wanted to say at the end of this podcast, like if you were going to give a message to you know, Sean McDermott or Josh Allen, or if you wanted to just say anything to them, or if you just wanted to, you know, tell them your thoughts on what's going to happen or a pep talk, what would you say?
My main thing that I would say to McDermott is you got to look at the fourth down stuff. You got to just like look at you got to be a part of this like fourth down revolution. We can't be punting on like fourth and two from our own 48. Like it's just not acceptable. Like they're too smart. I'm reading articles about that, you know, people think they have their analytics department has a good reputation in the league, that I love everything they're doing, but you can't be punting on these fourth and twos, fourth and ones from past the 40. It's just ridiculous. That's my one message to the Bills head to McDermott and Bean. We gotta stop doing that.
Thank you, Max Lasser. He's a funny guy. He's got some money. He is a fan of the Bills first, the Panthers second, and the Rams third. Thanks for joining me, Max.
It was so fun.
This is Kenneth Arthur for Pod TST, and this is the end of the podcast. Thanks, Max.
Oh, that-